from 5,000 feet in Fort Davis to 3 feet in Jamaica Bay, where liberty's threatened in Texas. Count on Pratt on Texas to sound the alarm. Here's your host, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis, all done without a donor or management-controlled leash or muzzle. Our Lone Star story of the day on this eve of the Texas primaries. This is Monday the 4th. Primary day is the 5th tomorrow. Lone Star story of the day, two big court decisions. The U.S. Supreme Court issued a 5-4 unanimous decision. Yes, you heard me right. 5-4 unanimous decision that states can't remove Trump or anyone else from the presidential ballot under the 14th Amendment. I'll explain what I mean by a unanimous 5-4 decision. And the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals has blocked Judge Ezra's order from last week saying Texas can enforce Senate Bill 4, allowing us to arrest people for illegal entry into the country as a state. However, we can't do it yet. There's more complication. I'll explain both of these stories. The Lone Star story of the day is sponsored by Allied Compliance Services. Look out for your people and your bottom line by creating a more reliable and safer workplace with a drug or alcohol testing program from Allied Compliance Services. Visit AlliedCompliance.com or phone 800-411-6906. Texas sales tax numbers up in February, but they're really flat when you consider inflation. And we've got more school districts caught illegally electioneering and being sued by Attorney General Paxton. Listen to Pratt on Texas anywhere, anytime, on demand, whenever it fits your schedule. Get a recording of today's show and other podcast extra interviews at PrattonTexas.com. We went to the premiere of 33 AD by Chip Bulk at the Ragtown Gospel Theater on Saturday for Texas Independence Day and saw some listeners there and had a great couple from Wichita Falls that have always still listened via the stream and just fabulous. Some of the nicest, most wonderful supporters of this program were there and just got to visit with them. And they were telling us how great it was. They, back in January, stayed in the Harvey House at the on the Santa Fe Rail Yard in Slayton and really had a lot of nice things to say. Listen, the music was great and the play was really good. It's exactly what Chip Polk said. These plays to want to really get you to think. And actually, during the night, I spent quite a bit of time thinking about points made in the play and still thinking about them, milling them over. This 33 AD is very interesting. We'll talk more about it later in the week, but you can get your tickets at ragtown.com for this coming Saturday's play. Boy, what a wonderful group of people. From the moment we were there, little bus that takes you from the parking area up, first got drivers a listener, said welcome. I mean, everybody there, just wonderful. It's sort of like one of them said, we got all these worries, and I mean, I'm still, my voice is back pretty fairly strong. It's not all the way, and I'm still not feeling that well. This, whatever cold it was, it just hit me hard this week, harder than most of the time, to the point where just brain fog, very hard to do anything outside of get a show on the air. That was just all I could manage, and I'm getting better. But, you know, we're facing all these stresses in our lives, all these worries of our country, the society just falling to pieces around us, watching other Christians, including in the ministry, surrender the church to the world and instead of, trying to conform to the world to keep everybody happy. We just see it everywhere. That 2.5 hours or so at the Ragtown Gospel Theater was a time, and Chip said that in our interview that's up, the podcast extra about the history of the theater. He was right. For that 2.5 or so hours, everything was okay. I really have reflected on that over the weekend. Everything was okay. We were talking about God and Jesus Christ in a very strong way, in a beautiful way, and wow, it was just good. Just telling you, you need to get your tickets, ragtown.com. And no, Chip, Glenn, this isn't an official live spot for you. This is just me talking today about it. It was just fabulous. Well, the wildfires continue. Day 8, I think it is now. Crews battle a new fire east of Lake Meredith that forced the evacuation of Sanford. You know, Sanford Fritch, the two towns that are near each other. That fire, I think, was the Roughneck Fire, 300 acres, 25% contained. Still fighting heat on the fire perimeters, a lot of little canyons and arroyos these things, areas where they're hot. The Smokehouse Creek Fire in Hutchinson County estimated over 1 million acres, 15% contained as of this morning. Windy Deuce Fire, Moore County, 144,000 acres, 55% contained. Grapevine Creek Fire in Gray County, 34,800 acres, 60% contained. The Magenta Fire in Oldham County, almost 3,300 acres, 85% contained. And that Roughneck Fire, 300 acres, 25% contained. The states and feds, they've got resources everywhere fighting these fires. And there are yet fires in other spots, too. It's just the way it is. SpaceX launched 4 NASA astronauts to the International Space Station on its rocket, Falcon 9, and in its capsule. For NASA as a paying customer, this is the way space needs to be done from the private sector. So the Dragon capsule is flying its 5th manned flight. They should dock with the ISS on March 5th, tomorrow, after going through the long orbital mechanics things to catch up and be able to do that. And also they had Super Heavy and Starship stacked for a wet dress rehearsal in the dark in the night last night at Boca Chica in South Texas, now south of Brownsville. Very interesting. Now, tomorrow, the Texas Parks and Wildlife Commission, I'm going to update you on a story I've covered since it came up. There was a land swap, and if you look at the map, it makes all the sense in the world for the state and everybody else. SpaceX is going to give they're going to swap 43 acres of Boca Chica State Parkland in exchange for 477 acres at a national wildlife area 10 miles away. Everybody was for it, Texas Parks and Wildlife, but these leftist groups, so-called environmentalists that are against everything, came out and mucked it all up. And there was a Cameron County judge was opposed for some reason, and that's all gotten fixed, and they're all for it. And it is in their interest. Parks and Wildlife meeting supposed to happen tomorrow in Austin, the 5th of March, and it should be entertaining. As Bob Zimmerman says at BehindTheBlack.com, you'll have the small minority of leftist activist organizations in that area that oppose every single thing SpaceX is doing. They're organizing carpools to attend the meeting in Austin, and it'll be just screaming, shouting, you know, all the nut people. And they're just crazy. Not only is this SpaceX thing the biggest economic thing to really hit the Rio Grande Valley since the Port of Brownsville up, but I mean, really, certainly in more than almost a century, it's demonstrating that they're a good steward of the environment. It's just like NASA's big Cape Canaveral stuff in Florida. That's all wildlife refuge, and it's actually protected wildlife because it stops development there. But these nuts don't care. They're just anti-everything people, and hopefully the Parks and Wildlife Board will do the right thing tomorrow. A Brinks security guard, you may have seen this online, got his pants stripped off during a robbery in Irving on Friday morning. Guy gets out, holds up the Brinks truck, and then this guy had a gun and everything. He had a gun belt and a gun, but the guy, after getting him down, the perpetrator, the robber, removed his pants. So he could, this guy's lucky to be alive. This was pretty terrible assault. Pulled his pants down so he couldn't react and, you know, go after him or anything or retaliate with the robber. The guy got, whoever it was, got away with a lot of money. They said a large sum of money. There was been several apartment fires, Lubbock and everywhere else, but there was a big one in Midland yesterday on Sunday afternoon that displaced 40 people in the tall city. In Gainesville on the I-35 frontage road, a man ran up to a 19-year-old girl when she was walking to her car, demanded her keys, and then shot her. Man stole her car and took off. And the car's been found, but they're still looking for the man. She's expected to be okay. It's another lesson why you need to be armed, ready, and paying attention all the time. You cannot guess where these things are going to happen. We'll be back in a moment with more on Primetime Texas.
Pratt's back in a moment. After we hear from those who pay the bills.
The name may be Specialty Trucks of Lubbock, but these guys have repeat customers across the country. Why? Because they save you serious money. Mike Crafton and Jason Duncan specialize in finding and reconditioning quality work trucks, including heavy-duty pickups, utility-bodied trucks, bucket trucks, and more. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock can get you the work truck you need and save you money. You can see inventory online at specialtytrucksoflubbock.com or request them to find the truck you need. Talk to Mike or Jason at specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
Why does keeping up with the news have to be so hard? It's like sorting through a mountain of garbage. We're here to change all that. 21st Century Watch Magazine. It's quarterly, conservative, and completely free. Call 903-561-7070 or go to 21stcenturywatch.com. We'll never sell your information, cancel anytime. Call 903-561-7070 or go to 21stcenturywatch.com for your free subscription.
About visiting the show's official dentist in Costa Rica, a couple from Lubbock learned what I mean about turning a trip to the dentist into a vacation virtually free. We used your suggestion to go to Sylvia in Costa Rica. She was wonderful. Instead of $7,400, I spent $1,640, and not only for my dental work, but my husband's too. It was a refreshing adventure, and she guided us in things to do. Thank you for letting listeners know. Arrange your adventure to Dr. Sylvia Zuniga by clicking on the dental care banner at PrattonTexas.com.
He secretly has a red, white, and blue flag in his closet with the number 1787 scrawled on it. It's Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your host, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. I have one more just general headline I wanted to share. It's by Fox 4 out of Dallas, and it says Cameron Herridge was, boy, she's a beautiful woman. Was in a car with her college roommate and three other friends when they were struck while waiting at a light on February 11th. She is still on a ventilator, fighting for her life. Her friend was killed. Life snuffed out instantly, folks. Police arrested a woman they say caused the crash and ran off on foot. So it was a hit and run. Herridge recently graduated from Texas Tech in December and had moved back to North Texas, had her apartment and big circle of friends. Her older sister, Casey Campanello, hadn't left her side for weeks, waiting for the day she wakes up in the hospital. Literally a careless act put us in a situation that changed all of our lives, she said. And that's right. And you need to know your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You cannot predict. This is not the things that you can put off, folks. You don't know. You can't predict. You don't know what's going to happen. Oh, listen to what happened. February 11th, Herridge and her five friends were waiting at the stoplight at Beckley Avenue, where Woodall Rogers Freeway ends, just waiting at a stoplight. A Ford pickup slammed into the back of their vehicle, causing a chain reaction. Herridge and four others rushed to hospital, but her roommate at Texas Tech, Sarah House, was killed. She's fighting for her life. It takes that long, every single day. People are next to me, and I see them driving in front of my house, in front of businesses, everywhere, staring at their phone. I see them approaching major intersections, staring at their phone. Stop it. Pay attention. It's like carrying the firearm. You know, there's people out there, I can't believe you carry a firearm. Why do you need to carry a firearm? Because it's risk mitigation. It's simple intelligence. There are certain things that there are no do-overs for. That's what this distracted driving and not paying attention stuff and drinking and driving, there's no do-over for that. Once you hit somebody, it's done. Once you kill them, they're dead. Their families, everybody destroyed. Stop it. You have to think in terms of risk. And part of the risk thing isn't always the likelihood of a risk. It's, is it somewhat like it? Is there some risk something may happen? You know, you do have to make those judgments. But you, part of the judgment has to be how bad, in other words, how bad would it be? And that's the point. There are things like where you need to be armed. It's very unlikely it's going to hit you or happen to you, but it does happen regularly. There are no do-overs. And that's the way it is. Put the dang phone down. Pull over. Gosh, I can't tell you that I haven't once in a while looked down at something and then caught myself. But I don't do it as a matter of a habit. I pull over. Just stop it. Who knows why this happened, but I see this every day. Again, Craddock. You're making it illegal to use the, it just, I told you on this show and it made you madder in hell. It was going to do nothing to pass that law. All you do is further diminish the respect for the rule of law. And that's proven out because they're not writing tickets for this stuff. You see it every single day at every intersection. You pass the law. It's a feel good thing. Just like a Democrat, a feel good law. The more laws you have on the books that people know are nothing but capricious in their enforcement does nothing but lower the level of general respect for the rule of law. Just reminding you, because that was a big political issue here. Today in Texas History, sponsored by Hub City Title, Lubbock's local title company with over 220 years of combined experience, reliable and responsive with fast turnaround from Hub City Title's in-house title examiners. Use them if you're in the Lubbock area. Lubbock's premier title and escrow company, HubCityTitle.com. They help us put on Today in Texas History. It was this date in 1933, the 4th of March, that John Nance Garner of Uvalde, a.k.a. Cactus Jack, left his position as Speaker of the United States House of Representatives to become Vice President of the United States, a position he famously said, and you always hear it said as edited, as not worth a warm bucket of spit. That is not what he said. He actually said it's not worth a warm bucket of bleep, meaning what if you were out and you needed to pull over the side of the road and go to the bathroom and it was all liquid. That's what it would be. That's what he said. Everybody quotes it as warm bucket of spit. It ain't what Cactus Jack said. He retired from public life in 1940, spent the rest of his years in Uvalde in seclusion. He died in 1960, well, relative seclusion, because Uvalde is relatively secluded. He died in 1967, a few days before his 99th birthday. He'd been Speaker of the U.S. House, I think only a couple of years when FDR drafted him to be Vice President. In 1950, Rick Perry was born in Paint Creek in Haskell County, became the 47th governor of Texas, later served as U.S. Secretary of Energy from 2017 to 2019 under President Trump. And now Rick is out as a lobbyist, going out and running around doing campaign stops for the insider money spending crowd and kind of embarrassing himself with a lot of his previous supporters. And I'm not the first one to use that word. I mean, calling being a rhino sexy, out for Dade Phelan, and I mean, if you read what Ollie said, he didn't say being a rhino was sexy, but that's picked up. You know, when you become an insider's insider, and that's where you're going to make your money, I guess you do things you shouldn't do. Oh, we've got so much ahead, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get to the big court ruling on Senate Bill 4. The U.S. Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals has blocked or stayed the ruling by Judge David Ezra in Austin last week. I told you about Ezra. He spent all his career in the Ninth Circus out there and in Hawaii. He was a Reagan appointee at the very end of the Reagan term, and he got moved here by John Roberts to help with the backlog in the Austin-San Antonio area. He has been extraordinarily unreliable, and he has been overruled quite a few times. He's just not that good of a judge and certainly no conservative. But the appeals court has issued a temporary stay against his decision that blocks Texas from enforcing Senate Bill 4. As Randy Clark at Breitbart put it today, Texas SB 4 is similar to a current federal statute under Title 8 of the U.S. Code 1325, which makes illegal entry into the United States a misdemeanor offense for a first-time offender and a felony for a second offense. Under the Biden administration, the federal statute is not pursued to any significant degree. Under the new law in Texas, migrants may agree to return to their home country as part of sentencing agreements in Texas. Similar process in federal courts is known as stipulated removal, where a migrant may waive their right to a separate administrative immigration hearing, agreeing to leave. The state of Texas also increased penalties for other immigration offenses, normally reserved to the federal government. Texas legislature passed bills signed by the governor that created a mandatory 10-year minimum prison sentence for smuggling of persons and continuous smuggling of persons. That law enhances, and by the way, the judge did not stop that. That law enhances the criminal penalties for operating a stash house and creates a mandatory 5-year minimum prison sentence and in further enhances criminal penalties for victim-related offenses that occurred during the commission of smuggling, such as assault and burglary. Now, what has happened is the Fifth Circuit has said, nope, Judge Ezra, we're going to schedule oral arguments on this case and hear this ourselves. So we're putting a stay on your decision that blocked the Texas from enforcing the law. It was supposed to begin here on the 1st of March or take effect actually tomorrow. I think March 5th was when it was supposed to take effect. So it can, except there is now a 7-day hold on this ruling. Because this is an issue that the administration will likely appeal directly to the Supreme Court on, they have put a 7-day hold on this stay. See, it gets a little complicated. In other words, Ezra's lost, Fifth Circuit says no, Texas can enforce it for now until we hear it and rule on it, but nobody can do anything different right now, and Texas can't go forward for another 7 days to give time to the for the Biden administration to elevate the matter to the United States Supreme Court. There's frankly very little that is, except to leftists, that is particularly controversial about this law. They just don't want the borders enforced. And I know there's a lot about immigration being a federal responsibility, not a state issue, but you know, this isn't about setting immigration policy or running the immigration apparatus. What should bar a state from having a law that says crossing that border illegally because it's not in contravention to the federal law? Why can't we say that's illegal and enforce it?
The news and commentary of Texas continues after this.
A Texas Aggie from the big country says he visited Dr. Sylvia Zuniga at Dental Care in Costa Rica, spent about $7,000 on the entire trip with his wife, and yet saved over $5,000. He asked, how could it be any better? Our Aggie friend and listener wrote, thank you for recommending Sylvia. Her work and service was what you said it would be. Very good. It took me several months of listening to you and researching on the internet to finally decide to do it. So glad I did. Learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and dental care. Click the banner at prideontexas.com.
DOT-regulated drivers, owner-operators, line up your required random drug testing program with Allied Compliance Services. Be legal and safe up and down the road. You will be a valued customer with Allied Compliance, and they will be on call to help when you need it. Visit AlliedCompliance.com, AlliedCompliance.com, or phone 800-411-6906. Call Allied Compliance at 800-411-6906.
Federal investigators blame human error for a deadly natural gas explosion.
We all remember where we were that morning.
We could actually see the smoke from our farm here, which is close to 20 miles away.
I just heard a big boom. The tile plow ruptured into the pipeline. Once the gas got through the intakes of the tractors is when it ignited. I started running as fast as I could. The ground literally started erupting from my feet.
Watch the rest of the story at 3secondslater.org. And remember, FarmSafe starts with 811.
Joining the late William F. Buckley, standing athwart history and yelling, stop! It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Told you, still not fully up to speed, and the voice seems stronger, and it sounds stronger to you, but boy, halfway through the show here, it's getting very weak and starting to hurt again. Need to get well. Prayers very much appreciated. All right, my friends, the sales tax for the revenue for Texas for February report was $3.69 billion. That's 0.5% more than February of 2023. So you're really not talking any kind of gain over inflation. Most of those are sales made in January. The comptroller said it's slightly surpassed those of a year ago, and that's right, slightly. Some sectors slowing, some sectors doing better. All right, ladies and gentlemen, so why did I say the Supreme Court issued a unanimous decision on Trump being on the ballot, but it was really a 5-4 decision? Well, let me explain the decision first. Let's use Amy Howe's coverage. Hers is the best, Howe on the court. Supreme Court rules states cannot remove Trump from ballot for insurrection. Now, this is for all the stupid people out there who need correction constantly, and it won't matter because that's why they're stupid. They'll never listen. This isn't about Donald Trump in the sense of the ruling. This is about anybody. Because this is the stupidity of these Democrats. The minute they do this, we're going to have all kinds of Republican states knock Democrats off the ballot. Because we got a lot of them that supported, actually stood out and supported these groups that were burning buildings and everything else. We just claim the same thing. So the ruling is, let's just put it this way. It's an unsigned opinion. This is how Amy Howe put it, Howe on the court. A majority of the justices held that only Congress and not the states can enforce Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which was enacted in the wake of the Civil War to disqualify individuals from holding office who had previously served in the federal or state government before the war, but then supported the Confederacy against candidates for federal offices. So the Congress can only make the decision. All nine justices agreed. So everybody, all the puffery is a unanimous decision. All nine justices agreed the state of Colorado cannot remove Trump from the ballot, presidential ballot. But four justices, Justice Amy Coney Barrett, in a separate opinion on her own, and just the lefties, Sotomayor, Kagan, and Kentaji Brown Jackson had a joint opinion arguing their colleagues should have just stopped there and decided nothing more. Now, why? They wanted to say Colorado can't remove it off the ballot, but they want to leave it open for Democrats to remove Trump after the election if he were elected. I guarantee you, and I'm going to get to that in a moment. Amy Howe writes, the justices explained that the 14th Amendment was intended to expand the federal government's power at the state's expense. Remember, this is the end of the Civil War. States' rights, people lost. And in particular, they noted Section 3 was designed to, quote, help ensure an enduring union by preventing former Confederates from returning to power in the aftermath of the Civil War, end quote. But before disqualifying someone under Section 3, the justices observed, there must be a determination that the provision actually applies to that person. And Section 5 of the 14th Amendment gives the power to make that determination to Congress by authorizing it to pass, quote, appropriate legislation, end quote, and to, quote, enforce, end quote, the 14th Amendment. Nothing in the 14th Amendment, the court stressed, gives states the power to enforce Section 3 against candidates for federal office, nor was there any history of states doing so in the years after the amendment was ratified. Moreover, the court added allowing states to enforce Section 3 against candidates for federal office could create a variety of problems. First, although Section 5 requires Congress to tailor any legislation that it enacts to implement Section 3 so that it specifically targets the conduct that Section 3 was adopted to prevent, state efforts to enforce Section 3 would not face this same limitation. Quote, but the notion that the Constitution grants the states freer rein than Congress to decide how Section 3 should be enforced with respect to federal offices is simply implausible, the court concluded, and that they were unanimous in. Allowing states to enforce Section 3 for federal candidates could result in a scenario in which a single candidate would be declared ineligible in some states but not others based on the same conduct and perhaps even the same factual record, the court warned. And that could create a patchwork that could dramatically change the behavior of voters, parties, and states across the country in different ways and at different times. Nothing in the Constitution, the court wrote, requires that we endure such chaos. There you're hinting at why the left wants, they always want chaos. The court did not reach some of the other issues the Trump group lawyers had urged them to decide, such as whether he engaged in insurrection, which, by the way, they're correct in doing that. It's not the right forum. Barrett, Amy Coney Barrett, penned a one-page opinion concurring in part and concurring in the judgment. In her view, the court's holding that states can't enforce Section 3 against presidential candidates was sufficient to resolve the case. So they shouldn't, and she suggests the court shouldn't have even gone further on the complicated issue of whether Congress has to have federal legislation if that's the only vehicle, the exclusive vehicle through which Section 3 can be enforced. And Amy Howe writes, in a relatively rare move, she appeared to criticize the tone of the joint opinion filed by the lefties, Sotomayor, Kagan, and Jackson, asserting that this is not the time to amplify disagreement with stridency. The court has settled a politically charged issue in the volatile season of a presidential election. Particularly in this circumstance, writings on the court should turn the nation's national temperature down, not up. So Amy Coney Barrett lectured the lefties. Sotomayor, Kagan, and Jackson agreed with the result of the per curiam opinion, so it was unanimous, but they really didn't. They disagreed Colorado can't do it, but they don't agree with the reason because they say, no, the court shouldn't have said who can enforce Section 3, and there's a good reason for that. And this is what I thought. It's a unanimous decision, but it really isn't intellectually because Andy McCarthy at National Review has it right. The Supreme Court's unanimous 5-4 decision. Said it was important for the court to speak with one voice in batting down the theory that states are empowered by Section 3 of the 14th Amendment to remove alleged insurrectionists from the ballot by their own ad hoc procedures. The justices have done that, but don't be fooled by the kumbaya coverage. Trump versus Anderson is a 5-4 decision. It says, under their holding now, it's a prerequisite to enforcement of Section 3 disqualification that a person must have been convicted under the insurrection statute, which, of course, any honest person, period, which excludes the lefties mostly, knew this was the case. You can't say a guy can't be on the ballot because he did insurrection, but he's never been convicted of insurrection. I mean, that's so un-American from the beginning. It's so banana republic. But they want more banana republic. Justice Barrett, like I said, we already covered that. She said, look, the decision they can't do it was sufficient unto the day. We don't need to get into how they do it through congressional legislation. But Andy McCarthy's got it right. The three progressive justices clearly dissent. They don't buy into the illusion that this is a 9-0 per curiam, a court speaking unanimously. They refer to the opinion of the five justices as, quote, the majority and not the per curiam. And they do not mince words about exactly what their colleagues have done. The majority of five justices decided novel constitutional questions to insulate this court and petitioner Trump from future controversy. Andy says this is true. Congressional Democrats want the option of seeking to disqualify Trump post-election and pre-inauguration under Section 3. That would have put the court squarely in the position of deciding whether he could become president. The media Democrat complex would have declaimed that it was the conservative justices, not the voters, who elected Trump. See, they're still saying that they elected W and not Al Gore. And he's exactly right. A majority of the Roberts Court wanted no part of such a scenario. The incidental beneficiary is Trump. That's right. This was a decision of law, and it's exactly right. So it was unanimous that the states can't do this. They want that, but they didn't agree with the court saying, look, the 14th Amendment says that the feds have to do this, Congress has to do this. That means legislation, because they wanted to reserve this power again to themselves as tyrants in black robes. That's what the progressives wanted. They wanted, if he wins the election, to be able to come in and still prosecute him without ever prosecuting him and convicting him with evidence of being involved in insurrection. They wanted to use this part to disqualify him from being president at the court. Well, they lost.
Become a member of the family. Join the Pratt on Texas Listener Club free at PrattOnTexas.com. Members get a direct to Pratt email address.
It gets allergy driving dusty and skin cracking dry on the high ground of Texas. Hart Heating and AC can help make your home and your life more clean and comfortable. Hart Heating and AC is expert at improving your comfort with whole home humidity control, UV light sanitation, filtration, and other services that make your home healthier and happier. Stop the suffering and take it to Hart. Hart Heating and AC. Get happier and healthier. Hart, H-A-R-T, heatingandac.com.
License DACLA 12-29 OE.
A bank with a triple threat. Now that's interesting. New Lubbock leadership, a new branch in Palm Beach, Florida, and a checking account that offers 5.25% annual percentage yield. That's right, a checking account with rates like a CD from a bank that's been blocking out for you for over a century. That's smart. Vista Smart. Vista Bank. Texas owned and operated since 1912. Member FDIC.
Does your financial advisor take the time to really listen to you? Is your financial strategy personalized for you and your family? Will your financial advisor be there as your life and financial situation change? When you work with Mark Miller, your Big Country Edward Jones financial advisor, he focuses on what's important to you. You'll work together and use an established process to create a personalized financial strategy backed by the advice, tools, and resources to help you reach your goals. And you'll partner to help your strategy stay on track. Contact Mark Miller today, 325-698-5063. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
He's back and ready for more. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Now, speaking of elections and a lack of integrity, we're just seeing on parade this year around the state the utter arrogance and lack of integrity in our public school officials, top administrators, continuing to engage in electioneering, now being sued by the Attorney General in civil court to at least get a stop. I mean, this isn't some kind of gray area in the law. And there's just more that keeps being uncovered. Leaked audio. So we've got recordings of this. Superintendent Benny Soilu, I guess. I don't know how you say it, of Huffman ISD, tells all the administrators to support the 16 anti-school choice Republicans in the GOP primary. He can be heard railing against Governor Abbott before urging administrators to vote for the Republicans who helped Democrats kill Abbott's education reform agenda. He ordered district staff to create the list and distribute it. This isn't just him speaking his opinion, which is illegal in these cases because he's their boss talking to him. He actually directed staff to create this list and distribute it. Superintendent. This reported in the Texas Scorecard. Shockingly, the superintendent can be heard admitting the district's verged close. What do you mean, you way cross it, idiot? Verged close to the line of electioneering in the past when it had a cause like this that was important. So they know what they're doing. Well, on Friday, late afternoon, I mean, I've been keeping you up to date with this. Some of the stories you've heard here before you heard them anywhere else in the mainly in the state media, the mainstream media. But Frisco ISD was sued by the Attorney General. Denton ISD, they've done it. I mean, all these sued them. Castleberry ISD. It just goes on and on. And now we have more. Attorney General Paxton sued this Huffman ISD and the big Aledo school district, Aledo ISD. Somebody the other day was telling me Aledo ISD, that's conservative area. See, this is what gets me. People where I live think that, oh, our schools are. No, your schools are full of leftists, Democrats. They just know mostly to keep their mouth shut if they want to keep taking the huge, in certain forums, in public forums, they keep their mouth shut because if they want to keep getting those huge, ridiculous salaries, they know they're in Republican areas, so they keep shut most of the time. That your districts are full of leftists. So this was a meeting at Hargrave High School I just told you about, where this guy had staff make the list, told them how to vote and everything. The Attorney General's office points out that directly violates the election code's prohibition against the use of state or local funds or other resources of the district to electioneer for or against any candidate, measure, or political party, end quote. And so this continues to go on, and they've had to sue Aledo over the same stuff. So you've had Castleberry ISD. They've already agreed to an injunction to stop it. Frisco ISD has been placed under a temporary restraining order. Denton ISD, Denison ISD, and it goes on all across the state. And, of course, these are just the ones that we know about because you have law-abiding people, whether they're conservative or not, who know this is wrong and don't like their bosses telling them or government officials telling them how to vote, who get this out to the right media who will cover it. Because I will guarantee you from personal experience that your local TV stations and newspaper often will not cover this kind of thing, even when we have it in hand and copies of it. We have covered issues of similar nature, and they just won't even cover it, even though it's a law-breaking. I mean, it's a big story, because this is the deal everywhere. We all cover for each other. We don't want anything bad said. I mean, you know, come on. Of course, this shows you don't have any integrity as a news operation when you specifically won't cover something like that from a taxpaying. But boy, I'll tell you, if it's somebody there on the political other side of, they'll go after them every time on it, even if there's nothing there. It's just sickening. And this is the kind of thing that's going on all over the state. It's been going on since I've been involved. I remember as a Republican chairman more than 20 years ago and then back before that, getting copies of these memos that were left to staff from bosses before we even were, everybody was using email even. Well, I got tons of the emails while on the show and before, but even back then, the stuff left in the teacher's lounges, telling them how to vote and everything. And, you know, on bond issues and stuff, you share it around, media wouldn't touch it, even though they have the actual evidence in their hands. We have a corrupt country, my friends. You think it's just, well, those liberal national media, they hate Trump. And they didn't like W, and they lie about Republicans. Folks, they just reflect what goes on in your own town. The labels just get a little bit diluted. But the same stuff goes on in your hometown all the time. Most of the time, you would never know about flagrant violations of the Open Meetings Act by your city council or your commissioners or any other government body. You wouldn't know about any of it unless one of those activists caught it and got the evidence and then just raised holy heck about it in front of a lot of people where it got some people's ears. You wouldn't know it because oftentimes they know all about it. They don't want to cover it. Look how many times these people go to work from the news stations and get the big high-paying job at the school district as the deck, or they come out of a legislator's office or something. They get the job, a high-paying job as a communications officer or something for the school district at some exorbitant salary. There is an incestuous nature all the way down to local communities on this kind of thing. And what it is it's symptomatic of the fall of the American ideal and the concept of good government. You know, I have this. I have people who won't talk, who get mad, who all of a sudden can't stand you anymore because you're a friend or a backer or whatever, and then you criticize them for something they've done once they get elected or their buddy does once they get elected. They think because, well, you're friends, that means you look the other way. I don't know what kind of friendship that is. It's certainly nothing to do with integrity or morals. That's like the guy that gives the excuse to his buddy for cheating on his wife. Oh, yeah, he was out with me. Well, buddy, you're involved in adultery then. You're involved in one of the big sins, the Ten Commandments. Where is the moral baseline in this country anymore? Obviously, it's under assault in every turn. I mean, my goodness, you're the one who's punished when you point out that, wait a minute, that's a man. I'm not going to participate in the lie and call that person a female. That's a man. An ugly one wearing a dress. You know, it doesn't matter. This stuff, too many people at every level are simply capitulating because they don't want to fight. They don't want to stand up again. Well, then you're engaging in the same sin. Is that how you're supposed to live? Switching gears real quickly in the House District 71 race, I noticed, you know, all this local talk about Stan Lambert. Well, he's a local guy. He represents us. I think you folks need to look at his funding. As I told you weeks ago, he's gotten over $72,000 from the Speaker of the House in South Texas, who represents all kinds of big interests. Most of his money, we're talking $500,000 almost, comes from PACs that have to do with being outside other candidates and stuff outside of Abilene. He's getting money from the Charles Butt Public Education PAC, which is very liberal. That's the guy that owns HEB. They're the biggest enemies of Republicans in the legislature, and all kinds of leftist interests. So if all that money, if he's getting hundreds of thousands of dollars from outside of town, maybe Stan Lambert's the guy who represents outside of town interests. Does it matter whether he lived there or not? Nikki Haley's back in Texas today for two rallies, I guess just totally wasting her time. Jeremy Wallace at the Chronicle pointed out that one reason she's still here is she's getting a bunch of money from Texans and lists some of them. You can find that story at the Hearst papers, particularly the Houston Chronicle or San Antonio Express News. She's, you know, got former Speaker Joe Strauss out campaigning for her. That tells you all you need to know. They represent the far left big government wing of the Republican Party. And by the way, she finally ended her drought of primaries. She won one. Bob Hogue said it right at Red State. Haley ends losing streak by taking the D.C. primary. Trump says she was just crowned queen of the swamp. Amen. Thanks for joining me, my friends, for today's Pratt on Texas. Hopefully the voice will continue to heal. Kind of tough here by the end of the show today. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Get out and vote tomorrow if you haven't done so, and my voter recommendations are at PrattOnTexas.com.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.